Well, I hope you're having a good week. And the Lord just laid on my heart tonight to, I try to do this at least once a year, is share a message just to encourage you to realize how faithful God is to hear your prayers. And tonight I want to talk to you about simple prayer, the practice and power of praying simply. And I believe the Bible teaches us this. I believe this is one of the foundational teachings of Jesus when it comes to prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. And not too long ago, I shared a message about the different kinds of prayer, different kinds of prayers that we pray. But tonight, I just want to make a laser focus to encourage us all to realize it's just praying simple prayers. That's all that's necessary. Just to pray a simple prayer and watch God do something amazing. Doesn't take a lot of time. It doesn't take a lot of effort to pray simple prayers. Now, I'm not saying to exclusively pray simple prayers. I encourage all of us to spend time praying in the Spirit. That's one of the ways that God enables us to pray beyond our capabilities, to pray beyond what we know or our knowingness. He knows everything. So when we pray in the Spirit, pray in a tongue, then the Holy Spirit is utilizing our prayer to pray beyond what we are able, to pray concerning things we're unaware of, to pray with specificity. And so there's different types of prayer, but tonight, simple prayer. That's the picture of just a little boy on his knees talking to his daddy God. And really, that's who you and I are. Before a great big Papa God, we're just little boys and little girls. Compared to what He knows, we're a fairly ignorant lot. I mean, can you imagine? Say you're out in your backyard and you catch a grasshopper. And you hold that grasshopper in your hand. And you're given the assignment to explain to that grasshopper who you are. To explain to that grasshopper how the world works. Well, that seems foolish, doesn't it? But in a similar way, for us to be given the grand privilege to talk to Almighty God, I mean, when you think about what He knows versus what we know, what He can do versus what we can do, who He is versus who we are, wow. And yet we are invited to converse with Him. Not only that, but to bring our needs to Him, knowing that with all the resource He has available, His heart is to help us. His heart is to bless us. Now, there's not a daddy or mama in the house that doesn't know the feeling of when you have your children, especially when that first one comes along, and you see that little guy or little girl waddling along, and they look up to you with those big eyes, and they ask you for something. Everything in you would move heaven and earth to try to, you know, what's, particularly when they start talking and making known what they're thinking to you. It's just a world of wonder as a parent. And we, as God's children, are able to relate to Him as our Father God. And so it's a beautiful thing to me. I want to share some scriptures just to lay a foundation for tonight. I'm going to share three different sets of scriptures. First is Jesus' teaching out of Matthew 6. This is the New King James Version. Jesus had a lot to say about prayer in this section. Before these verses, after these verses is when He gives the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. But in verses 7 and 8, He says, "And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." We don't ever pray to inform God. That's not what prayer is about. You're not going to have that conversation with God where you share something with Him. He goes, "Oh my goodness, I didn't know that." No, so our prayers are never to inform God. But they are to commune with God and also to partner with Him. He established this whole idea of prayer. You ask and I'll answer. Make your need known to me and I will begin to move to meet that need. At the heart of that is your heart, demonstrating that you are relying upon, depending upon, and trusting in God. So keep that in mind. And then Philippians 4, 6 through and 7, another passage that you hear often. This is a refrigerator verse. It needs to be slapped on there if you haven't memorized it. Particularly in our day and age where there's so much anxiety. There's just, since the internet has arrived, we have billions and billions of more things to worry about than we ever did before. And this is beautiful territory for us to read concerning that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests, those are different kinds of prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, request, petitions, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Again, you're invited to exchange your anxiety for His peace. How you do that? Through prayer. So prayer is very, very powerful. Keep that in mind. And then the last section of Scripture that I want to read before I share some things with you. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Another one I really love, the aged Apostle John writing his first epistle. In the last chapter of that epistle, he says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if you ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, all of these passages could be series within themselves, but here basically John is saying, you know, God has a will, a plan for us. And when your prayers line up with His plan for your life, His will for your life, you can, I started to say you can bet, but you probably don't need to use that phrase, but you can take it to the bank that if your prayers are in alignment with His plan for your life, then His power is going to be working to bring that about. And He invites you to partner with Him and to pray. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. If He hears us, we'll have the petition. And so, sometimes you speculate about what's unsaid. Well, if He says, if you ask anything in His name according to His will, He'll do it. Well, what if you don't ask? Well, sometimes, just because He is who He is, He blesses you just the same. But I believe this also teaches us there's some things that God desires to do, wills to do, wants to do, that aren't going to be done until you ask. That's your seat at the table. The asking part, the praying part, the bringing your heart before Him, coming into His presence. And it can be assumed at times we're not asking because, don't worry, God, I got this. I'm coasting along just fine. Our asking, our going before Him is our humility and our presenting ourselves to Him in dependence. Lord, You're my life. You're my provider. You're my healer. You're my Savior. You're my deliverer. And it's out of that relationship with your heart in that place, when you make those petitions known, then the good Father will begin to respond. And it's not that He doesn't know what you're needing. But He's the one that says, I want you to ask. I want you to seek. I want you to knock. I want you to ask according to My will. I want you to ask in the name of Jesus. There are protocols for prayer, principles concerning the operation of prayer. But again tonight, we just want to keep it simply about simple prayer. All right? So let me begin to talk about some things with you. First of all, let's deal with misconceptions and complications when it comes to prayer. And this in reference to what Jesus says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Why do they use vain repetitions? They think they will be heard for their many words. In other words, the larger and longer the prayer, the larger and greater the answer. Right? No. That's not what Jesus said. He said, it's not the length of your prayers. It's not the voluminosity of your prayer. Not how long you pray, how many big words you use, vain repetitions. As people were wont to do in that day, the Pharisees would go down on the street corners and make these long, eloquently prayed prayers on and on and on. And Jesus said they do it to be seen of men. Or, you know, to be admired for their much speaking. And he simply says, therefore, do not be like them. In other words, that's not the way I want you to pray. For your Father knows the things you have need of even before you ask. So sometimes there's a misconception that people can have, particularly new believers, or, you know, like, unless you have been deeply theologically trained and you're an aged warrior in the faith, you're probably not going to be very effective at prayer. That's, thank God for good theological training. Thank God for being aged in the faith. Thank God for being a warrior. But those aren't the requirements for God to hear your prayers. It's out of relationship, a child to a father. And so it's a misconception to think you have to be highly theological trained. You remember Jesus, when you look at his ragtag group of disciples, you got a fisherman, a tax collector, a zealot, and right on down the line. None of them had degrees hanging on their walls. None of them were highly, quote, trained. But they so had a relationship with Jesus, they did miracles that religious leaders in the early church looked at them and took note that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And that's the heart of simple prayer. It's that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We had all of our grands in over the weekend, and we've got a couple of little girls, you know, and of course they just steal Poppy's heart. Especially when they come and they want to sit in Poppy's lap, and if they want some gummy bears or whatever, Poppy will get them. You know. But if we could just see God's heart for us, and really when we view what he did for us through the cross, we can see how much he loves us. He is for us and not against us. Look at the length to which he went to bring salvation to us. How much Jesus loves you and me. Sometimes there's that same misconception that a new Christian is just not equipped to see their prayers answered, and that's simply not true. Some people say, well, you got to say things just in the right way. You've got to use the right words in the right way, or your prayers won't be answered. Well, we all believe, and I mean, there's no doubt. The Scripture says the words we speak are light, they're powerful. They're death and life are in the power of the tongue. But that doesn't mean that we have to listen to someone we think knows how to pray, and then we have to pray that way. You talk to the Lord like you would talk to your best friend. Like spouses would talk to one another when things are going good, okay? Okay. Clarify that. But that's a misconception to think that you've just got to say everything just in the right way. But God looks beyond our words to our heart. It doesn't mean our words aren't important. But what's more important is our words. I mean our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. You may not be using the correct, quote, theological, end quote, language, but God knows your heart. He knows what you're asking. Pour your heart out to Him in the way that you communicate. Share your heart with God. I remember hearing the story of the man that went off up in the mountains to witness to some of those people, try to win them to the Lord. He goes way up in the hills. He knocks on the door, and the man opens the door, and he said, "Sir, are you lost?" He said, "No, I've lived here about all my life. Know my way around pretty good." "Well, that's not what I mean. Are you a Christian?" "No, I'm a Jones now. Old Ned Christian, he's about two hollows south down here." No, you still don't understand. "Are you ready for the judgment day? Jesus is coming. Are you ready for the judgment day?" "Well, I don't know. When is it?" "Well, I don't know. Just when. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week. I don't know." He said, "Well, it sounds like it's a pretty exciting thing. When you find out, let me know. I may want to go both days." Sometimes we Christians can use language that people out there don't have a clue what we mean. And sometimes we think we have to articulate all those things when we're talking to the Lord in that way. It's a misconception. And it's important that we understand that. It staggers me to think of the fact that the Lord, who already knows what I'm going to say before I say it, what I'm going to pray before I pray it, still delights in me coming into His presence and saying it and praying it and sharing my heart with Him. That's amazing. And He can do that for all of us simultaneously and not be stressed out a bit about it. Because He's God. And that's confounding. Let me talk a moment about overcoming feelings of inadequacy when it comes to prayer. I think probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people is past sin, what you did before you were saved, or those bad days of your life, those moments of your worst decisions, those choices that were really bad choices that you've come to regret and you grieve about them. The enemy will want to turn those into a hammer and then just beat you continuously over the head with it. And get you to the place where you just feel absolutely inadequate to even think about asking God for anything. I've even had people make comments like that to me. I'm sure Pastor Doc, Pastor Larry, and some of the pastors in here have had this as well. That, well, I don't feel like I deserve to be able to ask God for anything. Or, I've heard this one a number of times, there's people that have a lot bigger problems than I do, so I don't want to worry God with this. And so forth. Those feelings of inadequacy or those feelings of why would God hear me? Well, let me tell you why. The same reason He might hear Billy Graham's prayer. The same reason He might have heard the Apostle Paul's prayer or the Apostle Peter's prayer or his mom Mary's prayer. Let me tell you, because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is imputed to you the moment you are saved. Imputed is a theological term, but in other words, God takes Jesus' righteousness and he gives that to you. And He deals with you just as if you were Jesus. He sees you that way. You are made righteous. You are qualified by Jesus Christ Himself. He bore all of our sins in His body on the cross. And God, in the realm of the Spirit, based on the sacrifice of Christ, who took our sin upon Himself, took the sinlessness of Jesus and gives that to us. So that we relate to God the Father just as Jesus did. That's the reason we're told when we pray to pray in Jesus' name. It means that we're praying just as if it was Jesus praying when we pray in Jesus' name. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Not only have you been given His righteousness, but His very Spirit, His very life is in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that means in the body, my bodily life, my physical life that I now, the life I now live in this body physically, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And as you've heard me say a number of times, the end of that verse, I remember where I was sitting at my desk in the office of the church of Highland Baptist Church in Senatobia, Mississippi. I think the year would have been 1992, and I was studying Galatians 2:20, and I pulled out a commentary by a minister, an old-timer named R.C.H. Linsky. I looked that up, and I was reading the commentary. And when he got down to that, he was exegeting the Greek in the latter part of that verse, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, literally, when you look at the verb tenses, he is saying that Jesus was the one who was loving me as He gave Himself for me. And I sat there and wept because there was like an illumination came into my mind that He was loving me when He gave Himself for me. So you're not inadequate. You're not less than. You measure up because Christ measures up. His perfections are your perfections. You are complete in Him, though not completely yet like Him. You are complete in Him. And you are being changed from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory. God is conforming, working all things together for good and conforming you. That's the part of sanctification. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through your life circumstances and situations, the hand of God is conforming and molding you to be more and more like Jesus, so that the life of Christ that's inside of you will permeate all of you, so that when people see you, they see Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. No inadequacy. That's our true identity. And so we can come with confidence before the Father. Why? We got a great high priest who's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. He sprinkled that blood on the altar. Everything's covered. Everything's taken care of. We've been made righteous. And we can just go right into Father God's throne room. And when we get there, we're not going to be corrected, chastened, or punished. We're going to get grace and we're going to get mercy to help us in our time of need. Because we got a good Father. Now, if He needs to do some sanding and chiseling, He will. But that's love, too. That's just the kind of love you don't like till it's over with, and you look back and you see what He's done. And you grow to appreciate it. Let's talk about keeping your thanks tank full. This is part of simple prayer. When we have a heart filled with gratitude, we will pray more powerful prayers. We will see more prayers answered. We'll be more prone to pray. We'll pray more effectively. We'll pray more in alignment with God's will. We'll pray more with a pure heart. We'll pray from a place of peace. Why? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but the peace of God will come and guard your heart and mind. But He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. This one comes around the bases quite often here. It's very important. With thanksgiving. We have to keep our thanks tank full. And if we do, it'll enable us to live in that place of peace. The peace of God will rule in our heart. The God of peace will crush Satan under our feet shortly. We will be more in alignment. We'll be more in tune. We'll be less anxious, stressed out. And we will be more faithful in our prayers. The more thankful you are to God for what He does for you, the more likely you're going to be to converse with Him, commune with Him, spend time with Him, press in closer to Him. But if you're ungrateful and you don't appreciate the good things that God is doing, listen, there's always good things that God is doing even in the middle of bad things that are going on. Now take a deep breath. You can thank God for that. Every time. Every breath you breathe, you can thank God for that. So we have to keep our thanks tank full. Well, how can we do that? One way that we can keep our prayers on the right track is to understand what I'm talking about this Thanksgiving. I want you to think of, I was thinking about this earlier today. It's kind of like when I was growing up there during my teenage years, there was a railroad track that came through pretty close to our house. And every now and then, I'm not going to say if I was ever involved in this or not, because I've got kin folks in this house. But some people learned that they could get on that railroad track with their cars and let some of the air out of the tires, and they'd fit just right. And you could just take a trip down the railroad track. If you knew when the trains run, you could get on at one crossing and go down a few miles and get back on the road at the next place the road crossed. And it was a lot of fun. I heard people talking about how much fun it was. But there's two tracks that you want to stay on to keep these simple prayers moving in the right way. One is thanksgiving, and the other is trust. If you can just have a grateful, thankful heart and just trust God, believe, put your faith in, trust God. If you get those two things right, you'll be amazed how much better your life will go, how much you'll stay between the ditches better. You'll see more good things happening. God just blesses those who have grateful hearts. A heart full of gratitude will be a life that sees great answers to prayer. And so that thanksgiving and that trust, you get those two things right. And just prayer really means you're trusting God. You believe God can help you. You're going to God for help. You're depending upon Him. Just like a child. When a child's born in this world, that child can't take care of itself. That child can't get a job, doesn't have a paycheck coming in, can't cook for itself. Can't change itself, can't put its own diapers on, clothes, it's helpless, it's completely dependent. And that's really a picture of who we are without the Lord. And just as a child depends upon its parents to take care of him or her, we need to have that childlikeness, that childlike dependence on God, that we trust Him. Most children are not spending all day long worrying whether or not they're going to have breakfast, lunch, or supper, whether they're going to have, be able to put their shoes on, their pants on, or anything like that. Why? Because dad and mom are helping them. They're providing for them. Well, we got a father that's better than any human parent. And we're his kids. So keep your thanks tank full. Now, let me share briefly about three types of simple prayer. I was listening not long ago to Dr. David Jeremiah. You know, he's the retired military that entered the ministry and just a well-known Bible teacher. And he was teaching on Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And I thought of this when I was preparing this message today. He shared this. I don't know if it's original with him, but I heard it from him. But he said there's three types of prayer to pray. And this really goes along line of just keeping your prayers simple. And the first one is please prayers. Please, Lord. That's when we're asking God, we're needing something. Please help me, Lord. Lord, I'm having a test at school today. Please help me. Lord, I'm needing some extra money for this unexpected bill that came in. Please provide this need. Please kind of prayers. Secondly, he says there's thank you prayers. And that goes along with what I just finished talking about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the facts of life, for working in this room. Thank you, Lord, that we got to baptize in warm water. Thank you, Lord. You know, just on and on and on. Thank you. Those are thank you prayers. And then, I'm sorry prayers. This is important. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Forgive me for losing my temper. Forgive me for missing that appointment. Forgive me for whatever it might have been. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry prayers. So, those are three types of simple prayer. Please prayers, thank you prayers, and I'm sorry prayers. And probably not many days that go by that we shouldn't be praying all three of those prayers in some way or the other. Now, let's talk about keeping it simple and real. And this is the last thing, and I'll briefly go through this list because we're talking about simple prayer. Pray before you go. Start your day with this simple prayer. Sometimes people think, well, I don't have 30 minutes to pray this morning. Well, when you wake up, Lord, thank you for the rest I received last night. And before I start this day, I just want to thank you for how good you are to me. Lord, give me wisdom for every decision I have to make today. Protect me everywhere I go today. Lord, help me to be led by your Spirit today. Just pray simple prayers. Start your day that way. Some days you may be able to pray longer prayers or pray about more things. But pray before you go. Pray as you go throughout the day. You know, in the book of Daniel, he would pray like three times a day. At certain times a day he would pray. So he had certain, and then that's a practice in a lot of places. At certain times everybody prays. Well, it's good to have frequent times when you pray, but learn to pray as you go. When you're driving down the road, you know, it's a good time to pray. Let me give you another little tip here. Most of us are accomplished at worrying. We know how to do that, right? I mean, do you feel pretty skilled in that area? You know how to worry? Well, when you find yourself worrying about something, allow that to be a reminder that that something you can pray about. And so you can take the sandals of worry off and put your Air Jordans of prayer on. And you'll start gaining altitude, right? So just think about that. What are you anxious about right now? Have you prayed about it? Instead of using your mental energy to dive into anxiety, let it be a cheerleader to say, hey, time to pray. And it may not show up as often if you allow it simply to remind you that you need to pray. As a matter of fact, I think over a period of time, you'll eventually just default to prayer instead of to worry. Because we're pretty trainable people. Just talk to God. Again, converse with God. Just talk. Just share your heart. Lord, I need to talk to you about something. This is bugging me. Again, you're not informing Him, but you're unveiling yourself to Him. You're inviting Him into your inner world. He already knows it, but you and He are now coming into alignment and agreement. Just like a couple can be married, living in the same house for years and know very little about each other. Why? Because they're not self-disclosing. And it can be frustrating when you're living with someone, you never know what they're thinking, you never know how they feel. It's important in an intimate relationship for you to disclose your feelings and your thoughts. At least the good ones, for the most part. Just talk to God. Stay grateful. So you can pray greatly. Stop talking and start listening. Prayer is more than just talking to God. It's listening to God as well. That's the other side of communication. I remember a number of years ago, I had someone to come in and see me, and I had back-to-back appointments, and so I had 1 hour with this person, and they came in. I said, "What's on your heart?" 55 minutes later, and I never said a word. Never was asked a question. Never had an opportunity to say a word. And then they finally said, "Well, I wanted to ask you something." So we got 5 minutes. You know, but sometimes we can do that with the Lord. And that's probably fine at times. But He has a lot He wants to say to you. And listening can be reading the Word and waiting on Him to speak, or just resting in His presence while you're praying. Bring a need before Him and just pause and listen. Try to focus on Him and just listen and see. You'll be amazed at what might start coming into your mind, a scripture or a word of wisdom. Keep prayer simple. Don't overcomplicate it. This is the teaching of Jesus. I think it's the instruction of Scripture. And again, a lot of it's so important to be in the Word so that you can pray according to His will. But God is good. God loves you. He hears and He answers prayer. And that's the meat and potatoes of it. And no matter how much of all of the other fascinating stuff we get into, this is boiler room stuff. This is what will change your life. Communing with God. Would you stand with me? Would our prayer team folks come on up right now? Just come on up right now. We're going to put some music on, and I invite you, if you need prayer tonight, maybe somebody just needs to pray a simple prayer with you, and it'll make a difference in your life. If it matters to you, it matters to the Lord. He cares about you, and He loves you. Let your requests be made known unto God. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. And I pray that You would help us to be faithful in this area of our life, to spend time talking to You and listening to You. Lord, thank You that You would invite us to the table to talk with You, to fellowship with You and commune with You. And across this room tonight, Lord, those who may be discouraged, those who may be anxious, those who may be carrying burdens, I ask in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that You would just by Your Spirit move on their hearts right now. Lord, I pray they would sense the nearness of Your presence. I pray that You would draw them to Yourself, and that they by faith would open their hearts to You. I speak blessings over you tonight. I remind you, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. I declare over your life you have a good Father. That God is at work in your life, both to will and do according to that which pleases Him. That He is your light and your salvation. He is the strength of your life, and you have no need to fear. I encourage you tonight to know that as you open your heart and mind for His peace, that He can and He will crush Satan under your feet shortly. He will move mountains to bring the answer to your prayer. And there's nothing impossible for Him. Call upon Him while He may be found. Draw near to Him while He's close by right now. Make your request known to Him tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. For those of you who may have needs, just come on up right now. For the rest of you, may God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. Maybe you can enjoy some fellowship with some others. Maybe someone close to you that you would ask to pray with you as the Holy Spirit leads. But God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Invite someone to come with you this Sunday. Let's believe for God to change lives. Good to see you. Blessings.